is peace. We have peace with Christ. And what is the value of peace? All right, in Philippians 4, 6 through 7, it says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, excuse me, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Where is peace found? There's only one place that real peace is found. It's found in Christ. Because when you're outside of Christ, you're at war. And it kind of reminds me of Luke 14, right? You got 10,000, God has 20,000. Why did Jesus say 10,000 and 20,000? He should have said 10,000 and a million. He understated his case there. What is this peace that we have in Christ? What's it like? Well, in Philippians 4, 7, Paul says, it's beyond understanding. So if I were to try to explain to you what this peace is like, I wouldn't be able to do it because it's beyond understanding. This peace that comes from being Christ, it is mind-blowing. That's what it is. Where do we find peace? Precious peace. Shalom. It's in Christ. And it comes from prayer, right? In the context, because this prayer, remember, I haven't talked about it a lot, but all these things are already but not yet, right? Because I don't know about you, but honestly, I don't feel fully at peace every moment of every day. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm saying, in principle, we have peace that passes understanding in Christ. But I don't know about you, but every once in a while, I'm not living up to that peace. You know what I'm saying? But I'm telling you, that peace comes from prayer. It says here, do not be anxious about anything. And I don't know about you, but I get anxious every once in a while. You know what I'm saying? With COVID going around, I think all of us have had a bit more anxiousness than we would like to admit. But let's just admit it. But this peace comes through being in Christ and through prayer. Now, why does peace come in Christ but through prayer? Well, because if you're praying to God, you have the ear of the one who created the entire universe. Think about this. When we're praying, the creator of the universe is, in a sense, it's kind of an analogy. In a sense, he's stopping what he's doing, not literally, but in a sense, he's stopping what he's doing and he's bending down and he's listening to us. Romans chapter 5, verse 1, talking about the peace we have in Christ. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we've gained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. See, in Christ, we're standing in grace. And, you know, that curtain that was the separation between the Jews and Christ, that curtain was torn in two when Jesus died. And before that, the altar was in front of the curtain, and God was on the other side of the curtain, behind the curtain. And that altar, which represents the prayers of the saints, right? Revelation. And when Christ died, the curtain was eliminated. And we have full access. Next slide. So justified, it means like aligned. Oh, okay. Never mind. Maybe go back one. I can't remember the slide here. But yeah, there you go. The idea about being justified. Because we are justified, we have peace. Because to be justified means aligned with. That's why those kites. To be justified with God means to be in alignment with Him. It means going in the same direction that He's going. Justified means aligned. And if your car is out of alignment, it doesn't work too well. When your car's out of alignment, there's a lot of friction, isn't there? And before you were a Christian, talk about out of alignment. While you were going down the street, right? But thanks to us being in Christ, we're not generating nearly so many sparks. To be justified with a thing is to be perfectly aligned with that thing. And when our car is out of alignment, there's a lot of friction. But when our car is in alignment, man, it's smooth sailing. Peace means lack of conflict with God. In Christ, the Samaritan is friends with the Jew. In Christ, the old are friends with the young. And in Christ, the Republican is best buddies with the Democrat. Oh, yeah. How? Because we have the most important thing in common, which is Christ. In Christ, we can have peace because he's already overcome the only adversaries that have any power over us, right? Let me say that again. In Christ, we have peace because Jesus has overcome the only adversaries that really have power over us. In John 14, 27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled, and do not be afraid." The peace we have in Christ is a good example of that already but not yet, right? It's one of those that it kind of, we have to work on it. And I'm telling you, it's activated to a very, very large extent by prayer. If you know a Christian who's not experiencing a lot of peace, I guarantee you they're not in prayer, hardly at all. So in this life, we have peace, not because of the situation. We have peace in spite of the situation. So the challenge is this. In Christ, we have peace. Well, let's embrace that peace. And as Jesus said in Matthew 6:25, don't even give a thought to your life. Next, we have, this is one of my favorites. It's a fullness. We have the fullness of God in Christ. Now, we're going to be reading from Colossians 2. And this is one of those scriptures that I think we tend to read, but we don't read it carefully, don't really notice what it's saying. Let's read that together. Colossians 2, verse 9 and 10. This is blow-away stuff, folks. I'm just telling you. Colossians 2, verse 9 and 10. Oops. General Electric Power Company. There we go. Got it. It says, "For in Christ..." Now, this "in Christ," by the way, does not apply to us. Remember I mentioned there's like 170-something mentions of "in Christ" in Paul? A couple of them don't apply to us. This is one of them. So I tricked you. Of the 170, probably only about 150 actually apply to us. So, you know, when you're counting, that's kind of fake news there. But whatever. So in Christ, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, right? That's in, so that means in him. He's not talking about you, right? It says in Christ, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. By the way, all the fullness of deity does not dwell in your body. I just want to let you know that. And in case you're thinking that, some of us act like we think all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, but it does not, okay? But verse 10. All right. "And in Christ, you have been brought to fullness. He's the head of every power and authority. In him, you are also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands." So, it's, you got that, folks? It says, in Christ, the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. But in him, you have been brought to fullness. And he's using the same word there, folks. So, what's that mean? Well, in this passage, it's saying that the fullness of deity dwells in Christ. That's not hard to figure out. We don't need a theologian on that one, right? He is God in the flesh. But in Christ, We are made like Christ. You are Christ-like. Now, this is another one of those already but not yet things, right? But when you were baptized into Christ, you weren't just clothed with Christ. You were made like him. And this is one of those, I think, it's more a progression than some of these other things we have in Christ. This fullness we have in Christ, I believe, it matures over time. The Eastern Church, the Eastern Orthodox Church, has this idea of deification. The Eastern Orthodox Church talks less about salvation as something in the past. They talk more about salvation as something that's happening now. They talk about deification. So I've got a question. What do you see yourself becoming? What is the best version of you that you can imagine with your wildest dreams? As children, we were idealists. We were a beautiful princess carried off by the handsome prince. We were going to join the Peace Corps. We were going to hit the grain winning run in the World Series. We were going to be the veterinarian helping all the animals. But then we hit about 16 or 17, reality hit, and we became realists. And we realized that we're actually kind of normal people. You know, there's part of that that's true. But in Christ, we are made by God. What's the best version of you you can imagine? How about becoming like God? How about that? Catch that vision. This beats, you know, riding the fire engine and saving the day. Teresa of Avila said, she was a sort of a mystical Catholic lady back in the 16th century. She said, Christ has no body now but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes through which he looks compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands through which he blesses all the world. Yours are the hands, yours are the feet, yours are the eyes, yours are his body. Christ has no body now on earth but yours. For we are all, we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. 2 Corinthians 2:15. We are the aroma of Christ to this world. And I really like 2 Corinthians 3:16 through 18. It says, and we all who with unveiled faces reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image. Listen to that, folks. This is the fullness we have in Christ. And you need to catch the vision. You need to start seeing yourself the way God sees you. He says here, we are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. This is the fullness we gain in Christ. We become like Christ. And therefore, we begin to even smell like Christ. Our very lives are the tablets on which Christ is revealed in our mortal bodies. Christ is publicized through our lives. You say, who, me? And I say, yes, you. So here's the challenge. Let us present our bodies as living sacrifices, acceptable and pleasing to God. How am I doing? Oh, good. I can do at least one. Maybe I'll slip in two more. We'll get lucky. All right, number 12. We have surpassing worth in Christ. Oh! Have you ever thought about it? I mean, just think about all the people in the world. Does it make you feel kind of insignificant? I did a little calculation. You are 0.00000012% of all human beings. Got that? You are 0.00000012% of all human beings. You are, for all practical purposes, no significance at all on a human scale. What are you worth? To the scientist, about $3.50. You know, there's a little bit of calcium, a little bit of magnesium, some carbon, some phosphorus. I know this is an old story. This is back in the 1970s, but Ford did a calculation, the whole Pinto thing. If you're over 50, you know this story. And they calculated that each human being is worth $200,000. You think that's a lot of money, all right? And by the way, in today's money, it's probably around $700,000, okay? But in Christ, you are of infinite value. In fact, you are more valuable than all the land. And I saw a calculation just recently. Somebody tried to calculate what would it cost to buy everything, everything in the earth. And it was something like, I don't know, $500 trillion. You are more valuable than that. Now, outside of Christ, not so much. I'm not saying you are worthless outside of Christ. You were not. Philippians 3, 5 through 11. I love Philippians 3, 5 through 11. All right, so Paul's, what he's doing here is he's giving his spiritual pedigree. Got it? All right, I'll go back to verse 3. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who serve God, the Jews, by his spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus and who put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reason for such confidence, if someone else thinks they have reason to put such confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for righteousness based on the law, faultless. But whatever were gained to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, and to know the power of his resurrection and participating in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. And so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. What is the worth of being in Christ? Paul said, compared to that, what he had, and Paul had a pretty great spiritual pedigree. I guarantee you, Paul has a better spiritual pedigree than you or me. You know, it's kind of nice how Jacob said all these nice things about me. That's great. But I'm telling you, Paul, rabbi of rabbi, student of Gamaliel, righteous, faultlessly righteous, tribe of Benjamin. He says all that is worth zero. In fact, he actually says it's a loss. In other words, the value of all those things compared to knowing Christ and being in Christ, he said it was actually negative compared to knowing Christ. In fact, he says, it's garbage. So we're talking about the whole world. Garbage. Our value in Christ, infinite. The goodness that you accumulated by your awesomeness is like a dung heap compared to the value that we have in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:20, we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We have great worth for others as well because God offers salvation to them through us. In Isaiah 49:16, God says, I have engraved you on the palm of my hands. Exodus 19:5, now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, that out of all the nations, you will be a treasured possession. The whole earth is mine. Remember, I talked about the value of the whole stinking earth. Matthew 10:29-31. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside of your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. All right, I ran out of time here. But if I'd had time, I would have mentioned the fact that we are all one in Christ. I would have mentioned the fact, we're going to skip through some slides here. We are all one in Christ. Yes, let us treat our bodies, our time, our energy, our purity of being surpassing worth. All right, we're all one in Christ, Galatians 3:26. All the promises of God find their yes in Jesus Christ. Next slide. You have every spiritual blessing in Christ. Next slide. The mystery of God is revealed in Christ. Next slide. And still more, the reality of God is found in Christ. The Holy Spirit is possessed in Christ. We have freedom in Christ. We have eternal life in Christ and much, much more. At one time, you were excluded, you were an alien, you were outside of Christ, without hope and without God in the world. But when you came to Christ, when you repented of your sins, you became a disciple and you submitted to being baptized into Christ. Just think of all the things we have in Christ. Thanks.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Don. Super appreciate everything you just shared. I think when I'm thinking about my own walk, and even as we end this year, it's so awesome to see all the things that we went through, but still we are one in Christ. We are unified in Christ, and we have so much to be grateful for and to be thankful for. Thank you so much, John Oakes, for teaching us these last 2 weeks. We're so grateful. I'm going to go ahead and end this out in a prayer. And then once I'm done with my prayer, you all will be dismissed for the night. You can go ahead and enjoy the rest of your Wednesday night. So let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, we're so grateful as we are considering ourselves before you and before the throne. We know that you chose every single one of us, and you will choose us every single time. When the world says that we are worthless, we know that in Christ we are worth everything. That you put a price on us, God, far above the heavens and the earth. God, I pray that as we are just considering ourselves in your family, that we take responsibility and we make ourselves your hands and your feet, God. I pray that we carry around in us the aroma of Jesus, that we are your very voice to those who are in need, God. We thank you for everything that you provide for us, and how much you give us, how much unity that you expect out of the materials that you provide. God, we are so grateful for it all. Thank you for everything. Thank you for the church. Thank you for this message. We love you. It's in your sons, and we pray. Amen. All right, you guys have a great, awesome Wednesday evening.
Happy Wednesday, everybody.
Thank you, John. Appreciate it.